Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, July 7th, 2019, Evangelist John Milkey.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let me reread to you once again a portion of God's word from Luke chapter 7. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. That is why she loves so much. But the one who is forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Those reclining at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? He said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This is God's word. Dear fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, is your celebration over now? 4th of July? Are you done celebrating with fireworks, picnics, gatherings? Or is this another continuation of the 4th of July holiday weekend? It might depend on who you are, because I see some of you are still wearing red, white, and blue today. So you're still celebrating. I'm wearing a red, white, and blue tie, so I'm still celebrating. Some of you have said, well, that was just a one-day event, so it's all gone. It's all finished up. We're done with that now. We're on to the next thing. Summer's almost over. I hope you didn't mind that I moved the flag up here towards the front that we had at the beginning of the service, the Pledge of Allegiance to our United States. I thought I did it on Thursday, of course, and it seems so appropriate on the 4th of July. And of course, we're going to do the same thing today. Hope you didn't mind. We added a special treat, honor our country, honor our flag. Maybe put your hand on your heart. I saw a lot of you did like I did. Wonderful, nice thing to do on a 4th of July holiday weekend, whether you're still celebrating or not. I also moved the Christian flag up to the front as well, because as you know, all of our worship services, we focus on the work of Christ. And that means that we're going to focus on the cross, the red cross, where he shed his blood. The blue symbolizing the Christian faith we received for most of us at our infant baptism. So what a wonderful way to recognize the independence our Savior gave to us by his life, death, and resurrection. So whether you're still celebrating the 4th of July with this holiday weekend yet today, or whether you're always celebrating with me the joy of the wonderful forgiveness that Christ earned through the Christian cross and creed, today is the day to pledge allegiance to Christ. We pledge allegiance to Christ because of what he did for us, where he gave us the freedom that he provides with his love, and then we share that love with him in return. The story that you have before you is the familiar one. Jesus is once again reclining at the table of another meal that he's being served, but not with friends or family, but with his enemies. These Pharisees, the ones who had tried to trap him and to get him to fall into their type of sin. And Jesus had this opportunity to respond to them, because a woman of ill repute, a woman with loose morals, did what they should have done when Jesus arrived on the scene. Luke records these words for us. She wet his feet with her tears and wiped them dry with her hair, while also kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. You might recall Simon, the actual host of the party, had not thought very highly of Jesus from the things Jesus had done in the past. Remember, Jesus had said right to their faces, you are hypocrites. They didn't like that. And you can probably imagine that here we have Simon smirking a little bit as he sees what this loose morals woman is doing to Jesus. In fact, here's what Luke records. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would realize who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, because she is a sinner. Jesus knew who she was, because he is the Son of God. And Jesus tells us here very clearly that he wants to help Simon understand what's all going on here. So Jesus tells him a story. Simon, listen up. There are two men who owed a debt. One owed 500 denarii. That's like a year and a half worth of wages in our day, maybe over $100,000. And the other owed 50 denarii, which is a month and a half wages. And the one who owed that, had that money owed to him, forgave the debt completely. They didn't owe him a single thing. Which one do you think was more willing to offer acknowledgement that he had been forgiven a debt? Who was more grateful for that? And of course, Simon probably grabbed his ring and his finger, twiddled it around a little bit, thought about it for a moment, and finally said wisely, well, the one who had the higher debt was probably more grateful for having been received that forgiveness of that debt. And Jesus said, you've judged correctly. Now look at this woman over here. Look what she's done. She's gotten her hands and her feet down by my feet, and she's cried profusely in front of the public. And as she's crying, she's drying her tears, my feet with her hair, and then she's pouring expensive perfume over my feet to honor and worship me. Why is she doing that? Because she was understanding that though she had many, many sins done in the past, she had been forgiven of all her many, many sins. And she was grateful many, many times over for what she had received from God. She had pledged her allegiance to Christ because he had given her the freedom by he provided it by his love. Of course, Simon, the owner of the house who's hosting the party, didn't think he needed to be forgiven of his sins, not like that woman. But Jesus pointed out to her very clearly that, and to Simon, that there's a reason why she was going to him with her repentant heart and offering this gift that she that should have been done by the owner of the house. She knew those three words, I am a sinner. She knew three more words, I am sorry. How about you this morning? Are you familiar with those words? Are those words that you say repeatedly from your lips and from your heart? I am a sinner. I am sorry. Jesus reminds us here that because he had convinced her of his offering forgiveness to her, that she was completely forgiven, this is the same message he wanted to share with these Pharisees. But then again, you might say to yourself, I said those words, I'm a sinner, but I'd like to add some restrictions to that statement. I'm a sinner, but look at my past. Look where I was born into. Look at my family. My dad's a drunk. I'm a sinner, but I was born with these kind of urges. I'm a sinner, but look at him over there as we make a comparison to someone else that seems to be worse sinner than myself. Jesus says in our text why he could offer life-changing words to the woman. You are forgiven. Go in peace. Why could that woman go in peace? Because Jesus used the Greek word with an aorist, the passive word, your sins stand dismissed. What that means is that before she even arrived on the scene to wash Jesus' feet, her sins had been forgiven. It's something that had been accomplished in the past and had ongoing benefits for the future. That's why you and I can daily repent of our sins and say, I am sorry, I'm a sinner, knowing that our sins have been forgiven on the cross over 2,000 years ago, and they still have benefits for us even today. That's why, as members of our Wisconsin Lutheran Synod, you come forward and confessing your faith and also confessing your faith and united in the Lord's Supper, which we'll receive later. United around that same doctrine and belief that because we are sinners, we are also saved by and redeemed by Jesus Christ, our living Redeemer and Savior. Simon didn't think he needed it. The woman, who don't even know her name, certainly knew what she needed to hear and see. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. We have every reason to believe those words. We have every reason to have a change of heart with those words, because those same words are effective for us today. Because we are saved by Jesus Christ, we can proclaim a pledge of allegiance to Christ for the freedom he offers us with his love. It also gives us an opportunity to respond with our desire to love him in return. Look at the example of the woman again. Do you suppose she wanted to be known in the public as crying in front of grown men? Did she get raised knowing that she was going to be doing this? Did she have this wonderful idea of bowing down before a man and doing this kind of public act? Why did she do it? Because she knew that she had received forgiveness from her God. She did it because she knew that she could trust in Jesus as her only Savior from sin. She did it as an expression of her love for Jesus, who first loved her. Let's be clear. She did not do it to earn her forgiveness. She did it as an expression of her love for the forgiveness Jesus had already won for her. That's an important point. Think about the debtors. What did they do to receive that free clearance of their debts that they owe to their creditor? Absolutely nothing. So it is with us. We don't have to do a single thing to receive the gift of God's forgiveness. Jesus hammers that point home and he says, your faith has saved you, go in peace. It was faith, not works, that convinced this woman to show expression of her love for Jesus in return for the love he first showed to her. Our response is what? Our grateful response is to do what? Well, it's several things, hundreds of things. Our grateful response is to give a portion of our giving back to the Lord in the way of our offerings, time, talents, and treasure. If you were here last Thursday or last Sunday, you received in your worship folder an insert called 10 for 10, a stewardship emphasis. It talks about tithing. I happen to have it right here. Tithing can help me recognize God as the source of all things. Believers practiced tithing long before God commanded tithing. God told Old Testament believers to tithe. Tithing helps make giving a key priority. Tithing helps us revere God. Jesus, born under law, upheld the practice of tithing. Tithing helps show gratitude to God. Tithing helps establish a habit of giving. God promises to bless those who give faithfully. Tithing can give glory to God and show love to our neighbor. Those 10 truths about tithing helps us understand financial stewardship and all kinds of stewardship for our time, talent, and treasure. That's a stewardship emphasis our congregation will be involved with later this fall. But what's one way to show grateful love to God is in return is to show him a portion, give him back a portion of what he's already given to us. As you know, we are having family weekend Bible blast in about a month from today. And we've been hanging posters around. There's some as you walked into the door today. Did you see those posters hanging on the doors? Did you see those little slips in the bottom? You could pull those tabs off and take them with you. On the door, heading out the center door here, two tabs have been pulled so far. Only two tabs. What could you do for a grateful response to God for the love that he's shown to you, to show love back to him? As you're leaving today, take one, take two tabs. Find more tabs if they're already gone. And share that with your family. Share that with your neighbor. Take that to your coworker. Use those tabs to promote our family weekend Bible blast as a way to show the desire for you to love God in return for all the love he's given to you. That's an easy thing to do. And grateful love also shows itself by the way we treat others. Can you imagine what would have happened if that woman saw the Simon the next day and she said to her friends, there's that rat that thought I was the worst sinner of all. She wouldn't do that. She had been forgiven by Christ. She did nothing, absolutely nothing, to make it possible for her to be forgiven. Why would she treat someone so harshly, even though he had treated her so badly? So it is with us. Treat others as Jesus has treated you. Show love and kindness to those, even if they treat you unfairly or unkindly. That's what God would want us to do out of love for him who first loved us. We never saw that woman again. We don't even know her name. I suppose there's a reason for that. So you could attach your name to that story. And as you put your name there, you recognize that that same method that Jesus carried out then is the same method that he has today. The same gospel, word, and sacrament that is ours, the means of grace to strengthen, to nurture, and to grow in our faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we can proclaim freedom and pledge our allegiance to Christ because of the love he first showed us and have given him our love in return. As citizens of this great country, we probably are not surprised that we have some citizens, maybe more than we'd like to admit, and some members of the government who function on our behalf, who will carry out certain actions or words that are contrary to God's never-changing word. What are we going to do about that? Take, for example, those who claim as citizens of our country that they have the freedom and the right to say that marriage doesn't just have to be between one man and one woman. It could be between two men or two women. Well, God would call that a lie, and God ought to know it because he created marriage in the first place. What about that gay pride flag that hangs over our state's capital, supporting contrary to what God's word says? What do you do about those situations? What do you do about those causes that are contrary to the life-changing and never-changing word of God? Pray for them. Pray for them some more. Remember Manasseh in the Old Testament story? Evil king, did not follow in the ways of his father Hezekiah. And yet he turned around. He didn't maybe quite become the reformer that King Josiah became, but he turned his heart around somewhat. So there are changes in people's hearts and lives today with the power of the gospel working in people's hearts today through the word. What about that story from 1 Corinthians that I read earlier too from Apostle Paul? Remember all those terrible sins that were listed there? Men having sex with men, adulterers, you name it, terrible things. But then what did Paul say? This is what some of you were. So a change of heart took place in those people. He says to us again, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. People change. You were once there maybe as well, but you changed. By the power of the gospel, we have all changed and been born again by the Christ power, word of God, and the blood of Christ, our Lamb. So pledge allegiance to Christ as you see that he has forgiven you much. Pledge allegiance to Christ as you show love to others. And thanks be to God, every day is the Independence Day, and it will be ours for eternity. Amen.